So are you ready for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy Little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola familia, buenas noches. Espero que te hayas preparado para el show de esta noche porque en el Underground Garage nos adelantamos a la noche de Halloween. Descubriremos el origen de la historia y, por supuesto, la música irá acorde a la experiencia que nos espera. De hecho, no podríamos empezar nuestro especial de Halloween de mejor manera. Time Warp, canción que forma parte de la banda sonora de la película The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Con ella, le damos la bienvenida a Little Steven. Buenas noches, comienza el Underground Garage. Dale.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in tight. There is the pelvic thrust. It really does feel insane. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
It's a dream. So you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're under sedation.
Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
Well, I was walking down the street just to have a thing, when a snake of a guy gave me an evil wing. He shook me up, he took me by surprise. He had a pickup track and the devil's eyes. He stared at me and I felt a change. Time and nothing ever would again.
Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
It's just a jump to the left.
The presence of Rocky Horror can only mean one thing. It must be the Underground Garage Halloween Ball. I am your host, Peter Lorre.
All right, Rich Little, I'm not. But we are celebrating everything Halloween this week in the Underground Garage. We're going to tell you everything you ever wanted to know and many things you could not care less about. Beginning with those wild and crazy dudes in Ireland called the Celts. I know it looks like Celts. And forget about that Celtic thing with the Boston basketball team. They're called Celts, trust me. 800 years before Jesus Christ hit the manger, they were celebrating the end of summer, kind of like their New Year's party. October 31st, they called it Samhain. Who cares why? But they believed on this day, life and death came together, time and space were suspended, and it allowed the spirit world to interact with the living. Yeah, baby, disembodied spirits would come back searching for living bodies to possess. Looking to swing one more time. Humans or black cats were thought to be the host of choice. So that's where that whole black cat thing came from. And the Celts would dress up in all manner of bizarre costumes to frighten away the spirits. And that's where that whole dressing up for Halloween thing came from. So cut to 1500 years later, and the Catholic Church are looking to take over and co-opt everything pagan they possibly can, beginning with every Catholic church in Europe being built on a pagan sacred site. And Halloween will happen this way. Sometime in the 7th century, Pope Boniface creates All Saints Day, May 13th. But a couple hundred years later, things happened a little bit slower in those days. Pope Gregory sees that many of the new Christians are still celebrating the Celtic New Year's. So he figures, let's move this All Saints Day to November 1st. And it works. Everybody starts celebrating the night before. They called it All Hallows Eve because Hallow is the old English word for saint. Can you dig it? Hallows Eve, Halloween, you know, like that. And this made for a lot of cool B-movies and a lot of cool rock and roll songs and sometimes the combination of the two, like this one from Rocky Erickson.
Yeah. sweet love. Look out, baby. I'm a wolf man. Yeah, I'm a wolf man, baby. And if you see me on the prowl, you better watch them when you hear me howl. I climb tall buildings and I pull down the trees. I chase little birds and I sting the bees. Oh, baby, don't just scream when I hold you tight, 'cause I'm gonna eat your love tonight. That's right, baby. I'm a wolf man. Woo, I'm a wolf man, baby. And if you see me on the prowl, you better watch when you hear me. Oh, yeah, I'm a wolf man. I'm a wolf man, baby. Yeah, you look like you could use a bite, and I sure could use a meal. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh. Oh, a chicken fricassee for me.
I'll be here playing music all through the witching hour. Even if you do have something to do, keep me turned on for a while. And I'll try my best to do the same for you.
Spending my money for me, the money I earn I never see. In all things I do he interferes. Oh, I know which trouble the Susie appears. Mr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde, Mr. My character changes, my whole mind and body rearranges. A strange transformation takes place in me. Instead of myself, everybody can see Mr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde. I've got to the stage, I can't tell which I'll be. The lovable fella who'll buy you a drink. Then when he's drunk, he is a changing or weak. It's a Hyde, Mr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde.
This is the Professor.
And this is Bash Hackstream of the Waggle.
And you're listening to Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Halloween edition. Is that right, Master?
Certainly, Igor. It's a show you can sink your teeth into.
I got the funniest feeling about that girl of mine. The way she looks at me sometimes can put a tingle up my spine.
She wears a whole lot of makeup. I wonder what she's trying to hide. My baby at midnight. She took me back to a place. That's when I met her father.
He wiped a smile on my face.
He said, "You're messing with my daughter. That's one thing you better get. Now if you wake up in the morning, now you're gonna feel the pain in your neck. Now, baby, I'm leaving. She said, "Now, honey, won't you wait? Now, don't you need my loving?" I said, "Baby, I'm afraid." As I stumbled down the stairway, I almost made it to the door. That's when I turned around and saw the planet going back against a wall. All right.
Thank you, daughter.
Got to meet her dad.
Thank you, daughter.
He said, "Hold me back.
So mean. One day left his valley path. I mean to say, this cat was mad. Now looking round, he wasn't gone long. And then he ran into an Amazon. Well, this changed his whole complexion.
Broccoli.
He had never seen such beautiful sight. For if he looked at her, and she looked at him, and she almost passed out from fright. He looked at her, thought, what a deli. He touched her once, she slapped him silly. This was something he had never sensed. He looked at her as she commenced. Now listen, pal, this ain't no fluke. I can't see going with a big green coop. You've heard about the Jolly Green Giant. Don't let his troubles cross your mind.
Sorry, Fox.
He couldn't get solid, so went back to his valley. The cat was colorblind.
We started our Halloween A Go-Go show with Time Warp, performed by Riff Raff and friends from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Riff Raff actually being the author, Richard O'Brien, and Lou Adler producing the record and the movie, one of Lou's many very cool things he did in his life and is still doing. I Walk With a Zombie. What would Halloween be without that record? It would be Easter, that's what. Rocky Erickson and the Aliens. Now available on the Halloween A Go-Go soundtrack from the movie yet to be made. Yeah, get it at all your finest record stores. There's still a few standing. Get in there, baby. I'm the Wolfman, says Rudy Protrudy. And the Fuzz Tones. Also on Halloween A Go-Go, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was the Who, courtesy of bass player John Entwistle, B-side of Magic Bus. Those Wacky Woggles with Dracula's Daughter, written by bass player Patrick Buzz Hagstrom O'Connor. Buzz still there with Dan Electro, the Professor, and of course Fleshhammer, having replaced Mighty Montague, who we tragically lost way too soon. The Woggles remain one of the great live performing bands on the planet. Jolly Green Giant was the Kingsmen, which they stole from Big Boy Pete by the Olympics, which they covered from the Don and Dewey original. Lynn Easton, the cat that took over the Kingsmen, the drummer that became the singer. We've told that story many times, and it's a good one. He ended up sharing credit with Don and Dewey. Well, I guess Lynn provided the Jolly Green Giant lyrics. Right. It's Trick or Treat, baby, right here in the Underground Garage.
Hello, children. How nice of you to come visit us. We have been expecting you.
Sigues en Rock FM en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Nos adelantamos un día a la celebración de una de las festividades más celebradas del planeta, Halloween. La Noche de las Brujas se celebra la noche del 31 de octubre al 1 de noviembre y su origen se remonta a antiguas tradiciones celtas, concretamente a lo que se conocía como Samhain. Se trata de una palabra derivada del irlandés antiguo que significa fin del verano. El Samhain implicaba la celebración del final de las cosechas y los celtas la consideraban como su año nuevo. A partir de entonces comenzaba la estación oscura. Pero la parte más vinculada a Halloween, tal cual la conocemos hoy día, está relacionada con el hecho de que durante la celebración del Samhain, los celtas creían que la línea que nos dividía con el reino de los muertos se estrechaba hasta el punto de que en ese momento podían acceder espíritus del otro lado al reino de los vivos. Algunas de estas entidades eran amistosas y por ello bienvenidas, mientras que otras se consideraban dañinas. A estas últimas se las evitaba por medio del uso de máscaras y trajes. Recuerda esto si tienes pensado disfrazarte mañana. Dale, Little.
Anyway, there was this Irish cat named Jack, and he dug the booze, okay? As the legend goes, he's hanging out with Satan. Yes, the man responsible for deviled eggs, the boss of bad, the king of sin, the guru of grim. And they are knocking back a few just for laughs, and Jack tricks Satan into climbing a tree and then carves a cross into it so he can't get down. Oh, that Jack was such a kidder. Long story short, he lets him down, but now the devil owes him one. So when Jack checks out, he gets to heaven, and they won't let him in, because they had space for only one boozer, and they were saving that for Dean Martin. So just as they're about to grab him and bring him into hell, he cashes in his market with the maitre d' of malice, and the devil says, listen, I can't help you with the whole heaven thing, I got a little problem there, you know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you what I can do. I can get you into purgatory. Some deal, thinks Jack. But okay, he takes a single ember from the devil to light his way through the frigid dark forest, which was the whole Irish purgatory limbo deal. So the myth gets a little unclear at this point, but either Jack or the devil puts the lit ember into a turnip to make it glow, you know, a carved out turnip thing. I guess it worked, because when the Irish came to America in the 1840s because of the potato famine, they couldn't find turnips, so they started using pumpkins. And so Jack with the pumpkin becomes Jack O'Lantern. You dig? And that's the name of that tune.
Of London late at night.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
with a little black bag that's oh so tight.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
he's got a big black cloak hanging down his back.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
well that's a one big cat I just hate to fight.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
well it won't down the street, ever get him, it says your name, blah, blah.
she walks down the street, he's never far behind.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
with his little black bag and his one-track mind.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
well, he really catches up when the lights go down.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
'cause that's the time he starts his dirty shop around.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
well, he walks down the street, every girl he meets says, your name belongs. Never catch him, 'cause he's a much too clever.
He's much too clever.
But if they do, a man will get the leather, yes.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper. The Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
With the streets of London can't never save.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
Whenever Jack the Ripper ever shows his face.
The Ripper.
So you pretty little girl, is take my advice.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
and don't walk the streets of London late at night.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
Well, he walks down the street, every girl he meets says your name is blah blah.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper. The Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
I'm Frederick Lauren, and I've rented the house on Haunted Hill tonight so that my wife can give a party. A haunted house party. She's so amusing. There'll be food and drink and ghosts, and perhaps even a few murders. You're all invited.
Bum, 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 bum.
Well, Chief McClellan, how long do you think it will take you until you get the situation under control?
Well, that's pretty hard to say. We don't know how many of them there are. We know when we find them, we can kill them.
Are they slow-moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
Wow, baby!
Did you wreck the car?
No.
Did you raise the dead?
Yes.
But the car's okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, then.
Talking to some rich folks.
We started that set with Jack the Ripper by the legendary Screaming Lord Sutch and the Savages, produced by the even more legendary Joe Meek, banned by the BBC in 1961, and they released it again in 1963, and it was banned again. Man with the X-ray eyes from Jarvis Humby, out of England. That can now be found on Halloween A Go-Go. The Fabulous Sonics with Psycho, which should have been on Halloween A Go-Go. They will be on Halloween A Go-Go 2, Revenge of the Candy. Coming out next year, now that we have eliminated the problem of why they weren't on Halloween A Go-Go. Yeah, real cute stuff going on there. Produced by the amazing Buck Ormsby and Kent Morrill, way ahead of their time. They also being members, of course, of the Wailers, the godfathers of garage rock in America. Larry and the Blue Notes with the original Night of the Sadist, which got turned into Night of the Phantom when the record got banned, and it's been covered by a lot of people, Chesterfield Kings and Fuzz Tones, to name two. Larry and the Blue Notes out of Fort Worth, Texas. And what's Halloween without some Dead Flowers? A little fun from the Rolling Stones. Sticky Fingers, their 11th album. The third album of their amazing four-album run in their second illustrious era, the Jimmy Miller era. And that concludes our set dedicated to the dead. And feel obligated to remind you, death is, after all, nature's way of saying you've become quite boring.
Estás en el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Nos encontramos en plena celebración de Halloween. Bueno, nos hemos adelantado un pelín, pero en todo caso, ¿sabes de dónde viene la costumbre de tallar una calabaza en esta época? Pues bien, la tradición viene de una vieja leyenda irlandesa, la de Jack O'Lantern. Una de las versiones cuenta que un astuto granjero engañó al diablo y consiguió atraparlo empleando una cruz, y solo lo liberaría a cambio de no llevarse su alma. El diablo accedió y perdonó a Jack. Sin embargo, el día que le llegó la muerte a Jack, no le fue permitido entrar en el cielo, digamos que por su vida pecaminosa, y el diablo le prometió no llevarse su alma, de modo que quedó condenado a vagar por el mundo por toda la eternidad con la única compañía del fuego fatuo que le lanzó el diablo y que nunca se apagaba. Jack introdujo el fuego en el interior de una hortaliza y vagó por siempre jamás sobre la tierra. Eso es lo que cuentan. Tuyo, maestro.
A young playwright named Howard Koch is driving home to New Jersey. He's just accepted his first paying job and he's already regretting it. His boss is a guy named Orson Welles, who is 13 years younger than he is and a real nutcase. The company is called the Mercury Theater of the Air, and the job they've taken on is to adapt a science fiction novel for a radio broadcast the day before Halloween, October 30th, 1938. Orson Welles had considered Arthur Conan Doyle's The Lost World and M.P. Shields' The Purple Cloud, which Prince later adapted into a whole career, but in the end went with H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. Now, Howard Koch was the lucky guy doing all the adapting, which meant he not only had to rewrite every 5 minutes to include everybody's ideas, but had to change all the locations from England to America. And by the way, after it was all said and done, H.G. Wells so didn't recognize his own work, he demanded an apology and a retraction from all concerned. But anyway, Howard Koch stops at a gas station, buys a local map, closes his eyes and stabs a pencil into it. Grover's Mill, 8 miles east of Trenton, contained a grand total of one mill pond, a food store, a general store, and a gas station. It was about to become the center of the universe. You know the situation we got now, the saturation of media everywhere, all kinds of competition for our attention, media people always complaining about our fragmented society and diminishing audience and all that. Well, in 1938, they didn't have that problem. Radio was king, baby. You went out in the field and counted corn stalks, or you listened to the radio. That's it. The estimated audience for the War of the Worlds broadcast was 6 million people. And they weren't number one. The number one show at the time was, I swear to God, I'm not making this up, The Charlie McCarthy Show, a ventriloquist act on the radio. You can't make this stuff up. Now, just think about that for a minute. A ventriloquist act on the radio. Anyway, 10 minutes into the Charlie McCarthy Show, he always had a singer do a song while he polished his dummy or whatever. It is estimated that at that moment, in the most dramatic example of channel surfing ever recorded, somewhere between 2 and 3 million people changed the channel and stumbled into what sounded like a news broadcast of Mars attacking the Earth. Here's a little taste.
Ladies and gentlemen, here I am, back of a stone wall that adjoins Mr. Wilmer's garden. From here, I get a sweep of the whole scene. I'll give you every detail as long as I can talk and as long as I can see. More state police have arrived. They're drawing up a cordon in front of the pit. About 30 of them. No need to push the crowd back now. They're willing to keep their distance. The captain conferring with someone. Can't quite see who. Oh, yes, I believe it's Professor Pearson. Yes, it is. Now they've parted, and the professor moves around one side, studying the object while the captain and two policemen advance with something in their hands. I can see it now. It's a white handkerchief tied to a pole. Flag of truce. If those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute. Something's happening. Humped shape is rising out of the pit. I can make out a small beam of light against a mirror. What's that? There's a jet of flame springing from that mirror, and it leaps right at the advancing men. It strikes them head on. Lord, they're turning into flames. Now the whole field's caught up by the woods, the barns, the gas tanks of the automobiles spreading everywhere. Coming this way now, about 20 yards to my right.
All right, so you get the idea, right? There were 4 disclaimers during the broadcast, but if you tuned in after the first one, which opened the show, the second one wasn't until 40 minutes later. By then, thousands of people were in a total panic. The roads were filled leaving town, bridges in gridlock, thousands hiding in cellars buying guns, wrapping their heads in wet towels to protect themselves from Martian poison gas. We've heard all these stories. But did you know that the whole thing was a psychological warfare experiment conducted by the Princeton Radio Project? The effects of the broadcast were studied and published in a book titled The Invasion from Mars, A Study in the Psychology of Panic. Interesting experiment at a lot of folks' expense. In her column for the New York Tribune, Dorothy Thompson wrote, Mr. Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater of the Air have made one of the most fascinating and important demonstrations of all time. They have proven a few effective voices accompanied by sound effects can convince masses of people of a totally unreasonable and completely fantastic proposition as to create a nationwide panic. They have demonstrated more potently than any argument, demonstrated beyond a question of a doubt, the appalling dangers and enormous effectiveness of popular and theatrical demagoguery. Hitler has managed to scare all of Europe to its knees, but he has an army. Orson Welles did it with nothing but words.
Much to my chagrin. of the apes.
What are you going to do?
Don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you.
Thank you.
Soon, instead of being short and chubby, you'll be big and tall and as strong as an ox. And furthermore, you live forever and never grow old.
Oh, Sandra, you still love me. But Sandra, how are you going to do all these things?
By a simple operation. I shall remove your brain and put it in his body.
You want to take my brain and put it in Junior's body?
Yes.
For a minute, I didn't know how you were going to do it.
They took my Bruce Wayne shoes down to Oldsmobile. Got to rockin' with the rhythm, run them over at the hill. Put your cap and goes on, cause tonight we're gonna ready to rock and ride. Yeah, kitty, put your cat clothes on, cause tonight we're gonna bop on a ride. Well, I slick up myself till I look like a dilly. I run downtown and get my female. Really, put your cat clothes on, cause tonight we're gonna rock and ride. Yeah, kitty, put your cat clothes on, cause tonight we're gonna rock it, rock it, rock it. All the hip cats know she gets that bopping beat. She knocks the pipes off her toes. Oh, tonight we're gonna rock and ride. Yeah, kitty, put your cat clothes on. Oh, tonight we're gonna bop and ride. Your hand up that food jar, do some big bopping rhythm. Pick the toenails up to mom, put your cat clothes on. Cause tonight we're gonna really rock it right. Bop, bop, rock it right. Bop, bop, rock it right. Cat clothes on, cause tonight we're gonna try to rock it right. Well, cat, cat, cat coat, cat, cat, cat coat, cat, cat, cat coat, cat, cat. Cat clothes, cat clothes on. Night we're gonna really rock it right.
Hello, darling. This is Elvira, the Mistress of the Dark. You are with little Steven in his underground garage. Ooh, it's just as exciting as that first time you sink your teeth into someone's neck.
Mr. America, walk on by your schools that do not teach. Mr. America, walk on by the minds that won't be reached. Mr. America, try to hide the emptiness that's you inside. But once you find that the way you lied and all the corny tricks you tried will not forestall the rising tide of hungry freaks, Daddy. Left behind of the great society. Mr. America, walk on by your supermarket dream. Mr. America, walk on by the liquor store supreme. Mr. America, try to hide the product of your savage pride. The
was for my very life. The day you shrugged and stepped aside, you saw their clothes and then you cried. Those hungry freaks, Daddy. Philosophy that turns away from those who aren't afraid to say what's on their minds. The left behind of the great society.
It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. Oh, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
She told me that she loved me, and like a fool I believed her from the start. My heart. Why am I standing here, missing her and wishing she were here?
Hey.
She yelled at me wrong.
Hey.
I'm better off alone.
She
devoured all my sweet love, took all I had and then she fed me dirt. See the way it hurts.
Why am I standing here, missing her and wishing she were here?
Hey.
She yelled at me wrong.
Hey. I'm better off alone. And now I know just why she keeps me hanging around.
Started that set with You Must Fight to Live on the Planet of the Apes by the Mummies out of San Francisco. Larry, Maz, Trent, Russell, somebody reach us. Mommy's Little Monster, Social Distortion from the very first album. Mikey Ness and the Gang. A little Hallabilly from Carl Perkins. Put Your Cat Clothes On and Go Trick-or-Treating. Carl wrote it. Sam Phillips produced it, and Jerry Lee Lewis sitting in on piano. That can now be found on Halloween A Go-Go. Hungry Freaks, Daddy Could Only Be the Mothers of Invention, written by the brilliant and irascible Frank Zappa, and produced by Tommy Wilson. He definitely got around in those days. Who remembers that wonderful B-movie, She? Ursula Andress, as I recall. Well, Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart saw it. And they wrote a song for Ursula for the Monkees. Right on, boys. It's on the Monkees' second album, More of the Monkees, and produced by the great Jeff Barry. So let me get this straight. All year long, parents tell their children don't take candy from strangers. Then on Halloween, whatever, right?
You're here for some Halloween treats? Well, how about a plate of rotting maggots?
Estamos despidiendo el fin de semana al ritmo que nos marca Little Steven en el Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM. Y a estas alturas del show toca detenernos en uno de los momentos clásicos del garaje, la canción más chula de la semana. Esta noche Little Steven nos propone Rick Wakeman's Cave. Son los Fleshtones como protagonistas de la canción más chula de la semana. Todo tuyo, Little.
Our coolest song in the world this week comes from Halloween itself. Please welcome back to the Underground Garage stage, the Fleshtones.
The compensation's cut for punching the clock.
All across North Texas. Now, I could put you on the radio, get people to believe you, get you some help.
You're gonna get in my way. Don't you get in my way.
No, I'm already right in the middle of this. This is my chance to stop playing headbanging music and do something real.
And those rumors ain't nice. And when I fall, oh.
execute me than the judge and jury on anyone.
This is Wally Palmer from the Romantics, hanging with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
This motion picture is a vicious expose of a part of the young generation, that sick generation who must ravage and plunder for their kicks. Scenes of such brutal honesty will be shown on this screen that we strongly recommend that impressionable young people, or those people of any age, who are upset or affected by scalpel-slashing, arm-twisting, axe-hacking motorcycle maniacs, now close their eyes for the remainder of this coming attraction, and further recommend these people do not attend any showing of this film. Thank you.
Shed. dolphins in the sea. He is the favorite uncle of the weirdest family. Mother likes to get up early and shave her legs before the rooster crows. It's a really weird scene.
We started that set with our coolest song in the world this Halloween week, Rick Wakeman's Cape. Oh my God. That ain't the funniest title ever. It's the Fleshtones. Who else? The album is The Band Drinks for Free. Is it out? It's out, says Dennis. But he's guessing. The Fleshtones, of course, from Pittsburgh. Peter Zaremba wrote it. What a surprise. And Florent Barbier produced it. He had to go all the way to France to find somebody who understood Peter's sense of humor. Get it from YepRock.com. Those people foolish enough to sign them. Peter Zaremba, Keith Strang, Ken Fox, and Bill Millhiser, the inevitable Fleshtones. Dream Police from the very cool Cheap Trick out of Rockford, Illinois. Title track of their fourth album, Big Hit, written by Ricky Nielsen and produced by Tom Werman. Over to Detroit for the Romantics. Oh, celebrating Halloween Carrie style. Tell It to Carrie. Wally, Mikey, and original drummer Jimmy Marino's writing that one. And we moved over to Chicago for one of our favorite bands, Shadows of Night, who captured Carrie's state of mind right after that paint hit her on the head. Alone. Very cool track, written and produced by Joey Levine and Chris Resnick. And Weird Scene closed us out, Mr. Brown. Don't go nowhere. We got some more scary stuff coming up.
Seguimos juntos en el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Estamos en pleno especial de Halloween y con tanto folclore había olvidado comentarte algo de la música que nos tiene preparada el guitarrista de Springsteen. Por supuesto, resulta muy adecuada para esta noche. En este ratito de radio nos esperan canciones como She's a Monster, muy apropiada, o After Dark, de Tito Tarántula, tema que posiblemente recuerdes de cierta película de vampiros cuya historia se desenvuelve en un local llamado La Teta Enroscada. Dale, Little.
This is Zachary. Welcome back to the eerily cool Halloween edition of Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Thank you there, Zachary. One of my heroes growing up, along with Soupy Sales and Maynard G. Krebs and the Three Stooges. No wonder I'm a freak. So speaking of which, there's a couple of different stories on the origins of trick-or-treating, and I like this one. This can get a little confusing, so get out your scorecards. November 1st is All Saints Day, right? So any saint ordained by the Catholic Church who didn't get their own day got thrown in there together and they celebrated with all the other saints. The next day, November 2nd, is All Souls Day. That's when the Catholic Church
celebrates Sam Cooke, James Brown, Solomon Burke, and Arthur Alexander. Just kidding. That's when you pray for all those suffering in purgatory. That's right, like Jack with the turnip. Or for that matter, anybody at the DMV or trying to get a passport. Or waiting for the cable guy or the phone company. So anyway, somewhere in Europe in the 9th century, some enterprising homeless dude starts a custom called souling, S-O-U-L, on All Souls Day, which meant going from house to house begging for soul cakes, which was like a muffin type thing, a scone or something, you know, a pre-Enlightenment Twinkie. And somehow that got combined with the Celt thing of dressing up in scary costumes to keep from getting possessed, and it all got mixed together, and the result was the Ramones.
There's nothing gonna happen to you. Them. Children of the night, what music they make.
A dinner was served for three at Dracula's house by the sea. The hors d'oeuvres were fine, but I choked on my wine when I learned that the main course was me. The waitress, a vampire named Perkins, was so very fond of small gherkins. While she served the tea, she ate 43, which pickled her internal workings. Scalpels go on the left with the pitchforks. Igor, Igor. What a swimmer is Dracula's daughter, but her pool looks more red than an otter. The blood stains the boat, but it's easy to float, 'cause blood is much thicker than water. Things in Transylvania. For dessert, there was batwing confetti and the veins of a mummy named Betty. I first frowned upon it, but with ketchup on it, it tasted very much like spaghetti.
Hi, this is Davey Allen. You're with Little Steven, who's scaring up some cool sounds for Halloween in the Underground Garage.
You better ask my mama how to make a monster. I'm the creature from the black leather lagoon. And I'm a beautiful monster from outer space, too. Learn how to shake my hips. I am the inner sanctum sanctum. Can you make it tips? And then I find them. I'm a creepy jump. I'm a black black velvet lagoon. Yeah! Black 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 black. Devil Daddy.
Excellent day for an exorcism.
You'd like that?
Intensely.
But wouldn't that drive you out of Reagan?
It would bring us together.
You and Reagan.
You and us.
In my heart.
dark and lonely heart waters her and wakes for after dark, after dark, after dark.
We started that set with the Ramones and Cretan Hop, inspired by Todd Browning's Freaks, no doubt. Back to Australia for the Stems, She's a Monster, now available on Halloween A-Go-Go. Oh yeah, it's a hell of a collection, no pun intended. Don Mariani at his best. Our hero, John Zacherle, Dinner with Drac, Part 1. Had two versions of that, one got banned. Guess which one we played? That's right. Well, he's the coolest. Known as the Cool Ghoul, as a matter of fact. Speaking of cool ghouls, the Cramps and the Creature from the Black Leather Lagoon, co-written by Poison Ivy and Lux Interior. Ivy producing that one. And we ended the way the sensual revelry ended. And that fantastically cool flick, From Dusk Till Dawn. I've mentioned it before, but it was the first time I ever saw George Clooney. I thought I just discovered this guy. What a cool actor this guy is, I thought. Anybody ever heard of him? He had like a hit TV series for like 20 years. It's a I don't know. After Dark, the track, by the way. Tito and Tarantula.
To face stupid reality again.
We want to thank our presenting sponsor, the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, Hotels, and Casinos Worldwide. We want to thank Voice of America, Jimmy Bertel, which goes to all over the not-so-free world. And we want to thank American Forces Radio, where we are in 177 countries. Yeah, that's Curtis Eckstein and Thomas Arnholt. Thank you, Curtis and Tommy. Don't forget, if you're up there in, what town's that in?
Rochester!
Thank you, Jack. If you're up there in Rochester, go visit Andy Babuke. Or you could reach him, of course, the modern way, Andy Babuke's fabgear.com. But go to the joint itself, which is very cool, Andy Babuke's Fabgear.
Allow me. I'm a bit of a famous mimic in my own small way, you know, James Cagney. Hello there, this is the famous Ringo here, Gear Fab. What is it that I can do for you, as it were, Gear Fab?
Not a bit like Cagney.
Yeah, that Scotland Yard always gets it wrong. Not Gear Fab, it's Fab Gear. And if somebody gets you a radio station for your birthday, call up Andy Denmark and Lori Logan at unitedstations.com, and then you can broadcast this radio show. Go to undergroundgarage.com for various contests and you can check out the archives of some 600 shows or so. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/undergroundgarage. Follow us on Twitter at Stevie Van Zandt. I want to thank our inevitable producer, Dennis Mortensen, our coordinating producer, Jeremy Tufano, and I want to thank Alan Freed, without whom we would not be here. Thank you all out there. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
That's entertainment. That's entertainment.
Bueno, familia, llegamos al final del show de esta noche. Hemos hecho una primera aproximación a la noche de Halloween con este especial. Mañana, a partir de la medianoche, comienza el festejo de verdad. No olvides protegerte con un buen disfraz. Nunca sabes qué es lo que puedes encontrarte al otro lado. ¡Feliz pre-Halloween! Hasta la semana que viene. Un abrazo, familia.